Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But Met Frosting.
It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
You're carving us up like a roast.
To the Horatio, gentlemen.
The Horatio.
Really, or anything about Star Trek.
So you didn't want to do it with David necessarily?
No, of course I would love to do anything. Hey. Look, all right.
What's that?
It's
Defiant.
Wait,
man, you're all in.
He's got his phone with a picture of the Defiant on the inside of it.
Oh, wow.
And on the outside is the picture of...
No.
Of which the, Enterprise?
Well, on the in, yeah, that's the refit. That's the 1701A.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Nice. Because I caught up on the way here. I didn't even know they're doing shorts of Disco.
Yeah. I've been. You know. We've been doing the hard job. First of all, hello everyone. Welcome.
We
jumped into it.
Nice.
I suckered you guys into that, where I called out Kieran not liking Dave. David. David or David? I can't remember. Which one do you like better?
David's.
I think I always call you David, but I'm sorry I'm going to call you David. but this is auspicious.
Yes.
Because we have brought back from the depths, from his funeral casket, space casket,
yes.
David Michelson. We also have the next generation of Star Trek enthusiasts, Kiernan McCafferty.
Hello.
Who's now not interested in doing this.
No, I'm very interested. Hi, guys. I'm Kieran McCaffrey.
All right. Yeah, keep that voice. See the levels there, buddy?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you can be loud, but just don't pop out there. So, that's right. He's going to school for musical theater, and so he's learning how to project.
Ah.
Do they teach you how to project, buddy, or no? They don't even care about that anymore.
Musical theater.
All right. Anyway.
I'm vocal. So,
well, it's eventually going to turn to musical theater.
If I get in.
You're going to get in. Anyway, so none of this matters. So, my son has been on a tear of Star Trek, mostly Voyager and Deep Space Nine.
Awesome.
And he's been champing at the bit, which is the correct colloquialism. So, chomping at the bit. It's champing at the bit. Talk about Deep Space Nine and Voyager. I don't know that much about it, so I thought I'd call in the cavalry of Callie and David, who are big Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Voyager aficionados. Callie couldn't make it because she had to go see a movie. Very important.
Gotta see that new Halloween, man.
Oh, is she seeing Halloween?
Yeah.
All right, well, as you can see, things are very, very important. Actually, I think she was just upset because we didn't do it at Starburns. But that's right, because I think Starburns is upset at me. It's all fine. It doesn't matter. No one's listening to this podcast anyways, but we're still doing it. We're going to talk about Star Trek. So David, we haven't seen you since January of 2017.
Move along home.
Move along home. You moved along home, and then we never brought you back.
Never came back.
That's right. When I started to tail off and said, "Man, if I just sit around my house all day and just talk about Star Trek and to myself, you know, people online." But now we're gonna do you online. We're gonna have it online.
Yeah.
Didn't I invite you to the big?
Yeah.
Okay, and you could go to that.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember why, but I couldn't go to that.
Nobody went there. It was Carl Held and Abed and Kiernan, because he's my son, and he has to go. And then eventually
I love that Abed came. Abed's like the one.
Oh my gosh.
The one survivor of the crew.
That is... There's an episode in the original series called, I think it's by any other name, where... these guys from a different galaxy turn two crew members into these polyhedrons. Remember,
they're from like the Andromeda.
The Andromeda galaxy. Yeah, you know. Remember?
Yeah.
And like he grabs the both of them. These like kind of like 20-sided dice, like made out of I don't know, like foam or something. He says, "I'll crush one of them." One is like this African American guy. I talked about this African American security guy, and the other one is like this comely girl, like, you know, technician, and he crushes one of them,
you totally think it's gonna be the
and you
guy.
Think it's the girl. you think it's gonna be the guy, and then like he's like boop, and then it's the guy, and he's staying there, and like you can tell he's kind of like, really?
Yeah.
I survived? That's so great.
I actually think about that a lot. Like, I couldn't believe when I saw that was I was just like, just because of the time period, too, I was like, wow, they killed the girl.
They killed the girl, crazy. And they kept the African-American guy alive. I'm like, wow.
It's like, kind of mind-blowing.
It is. It's probably the most progressive thing that ever happened in that whole series of yeah. Star Trek. Not the black and white guys, but that, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's like the most progressive movie. It is, though. It's just like, wow, you guys are like really... That's funny. I think about that actually quite a bit.
Good, me too. Because as a kid, I was like, "Wow, that's so." It's such a counterintuitive thing. Like, yeah. Oh, and that poor girl, she's just like crumbled dust now. You know.
Yeah. You're like, the stakes.
I know. And for Captain Kirk, like his like dating pool went down by one.
Yeah.
And so what we did here tonight is we crystallized both of you and Callie, and I crumbled one.
Oh, God.
We threw it around, thinking to be this beautiful girl and Callie to be reorganized. Instead, it's you, David,
yeah.
And we're so much the better for it.
We're more progressive.
That's right. Let Callie go see Halloween with big star Eric Bauza. Man. We don't care.
Eric Bauza.
You know Eric, right?
Yeah, of course I know Eric.
All right. He's a good friend. Never been on the podcast. You've been on the podcast, I think, four times.
Does now, Eric so. Like Star
you gotta, Trek? You gotta, his son's named Riker.
Does he like Star Trek?
I've never really talked about it with him, but he named his son Riker.
I should text him this very minute and ask him if he likes Star Trek, but if he named him Riker, I didn't realize that. Like, wow.
That was actually the thing. I was like, does Eric like Star Trek?
Yeah, wow. Maybe he does. I think George Edelman's son is named Jim. Is it Jim? I can't remember. Anyway.
George Edelman?
Yeah, friend of the podcast.
Oh, what's the guy's name? Edelman? Edinburgh?
Edinger.
What? No, the guy who betrays Sisko.
Yeah, isn't it Edinger?
Oh, gosh.
No, it's Eddington.
Eddington, yeah. Okay, all right.
Edinger?
Well, you didn't know. I mean, why are you criticizing me for doing...
Edinger?
I got it closer. So, why are you like Edelman, you know?
Yeah, he loved chewing that scenery once he became a bad guy, too.
Oh, so Kiernan likes that guy. Do you like...
Yeah, kind of. I like that scene.
Oh, the Jean Valjean, you know?
It's the thing that got me into Deep Space Nine when I was into Star Trek. There was a scene of, like, why Sisko is the best captain.
Oh, and the villain scene.
Yeah, and yeah. Where he's like, you betrayed your uniform! And then he was like, you're betraying us right now! The sad part is, you don't even know it!
You're talking about the one, too, with the where he... shoots the missile at the planet. The
quantum torpedo, yeah.
Right.
Which makes it unlivable.
Yeah. He just kind of like pollutes the air. That's very interesting. And actually, that's what we're going to do tonight. Because we've got, you know, two somewhat aficionados, somewhat experts on Deep Space Nine and Voyager.
Kiernan's probably the most fresh. He's just been right out of it.
Well, that's the thing. So we're going to use your experience versus his youth, and we're going to figure out who's right. And I will serve as the Grand Inquisitor Q.
We'll get to the bottom.
And I will decide. We're going to pit the two crews against each other tonight.
Oh, wow.
Voyager versus Deep Space Nine. We're going to figure out which one's the best of each.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So we'll go backwards. I don't actually have a list. I'm just making this up as I go. Sure. That's all right. But let's pit two, like a Voyager and Deep Space Nine. And then we'll have you guys, like, what we'll do is you guys will argue one side and then the other, and then I'll decide.
Like, corresponding crew members?
Yeah.
Wait, is it going to be who's, like, the better, like, engineer or who's, like, a better character?
Well, we'll decide that. I will decide.
I kind of want to do who's the better at their job.
Well, why don't we, like, we'll debate, like, equally, like, who's the better character, who's the better actor?
All right.
Oh, you don't want to do this?
No, I would love to, Dad. Okay, no, Dad.
I worked hard to get
possibly
all this
loves Dad, both crews so much that
I
sacrificed
possible.
My friendship with Callie. You know, I've got Dave here. He's hugging a pumpkin right now. He's
hanging onto this pumpkin for dear life.
This pumpkin. We have a pumpkin here because it is around Halloween. So
it's a really comfortable pumpkin.
All right, so let's start. Who is out of the cast the least interesting character for Deep Space Nine? Let's pick that one. Who is the least interesting, either like series regular or strong supporting? Who would you say, Kiernan?
Oh, that's hard.
Is it Jake? Is it Jadzia Dax?
Dax.
I think it's Dax.
Oh, so cast, not crew.
Cast, yes.
Okay.
Really? Well, let's. I mean,
crew. Really, Dax is the least interesting?
Let's say crew members, yeah. So you think Dax is interesting?
Oh, Dax is like one of my top Deep Space Nine characters.
Interesting. All right. Okay. Oh, well, then who is your least interesting Deep Space Nine character?
Well, you put it in my head. Jake is completely boring. Although his episode, what's the episode where he becomes an old man?
The Visitor.
The Visitor. The Visitor.
That's amazing.
That's good, yeah.
But that's more on, what is it, Tony?
Tony,
God dang it.
Oh God, Tony Ham, Tony, Todd. Tony Todd, yes.
Tony Todd.
Tony Todd, yes. A man with two first names. He's David like, Keith.
He's really like, he's the one, you know.
He
making
drove
that thing huge. Yeah. Like, I would say Jake maybe cast crew wise. I've never been a big fan of O'Brien.
Oh, interesting.
I find
okay.
him completely boring.
Okay.
And his life, his family, everything about it.
Well, let's put acting aside. So you say the most boring Deep Space Nine crew member is O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking character, purely.
Character. Let's talk character.
Yeah,
Well, you know, we won't besmirch the actors right now.
No.
We
Not
will
yet.
Later. all right. So O'Brien, you say, and then who do you
Dax.
Say? Dax. Okay.
Whew.
Oh, well, we have to pick one. So do I have to break the tie then? I would say Dax. I would go Dax all the way
Dax.
Down.
With the years of experience, the Klingon background, like...
But the character doesn't do anything ever. Like find me, like, five episodes where like, that character's interesting.
What about the Blood Oath episode, where she goes to track down the albino that her and... they bring
Oh,
back,
yeah!
And they bring back all the captains from the original series of the Klingons.
Yeah, but isn't that being supported by all those great... Like, it's the Tony Todd scenario.
She's pretty great in it. And then, like, the... she's got some great episodes with Worf.
Yeah, but again, you have Worf. Yeah. Unless she's around a Klingon, she's terrible.
I don't know. I liked her just because she... To me, she had more personality than most of the characters on that show. And also, I like that she's like best friends with Quark. That gives her points in my book, too. Just because, like... she's got, like... It was, you know, it goes with when the Deep Space Nine, they wanted characters that were a little morally ambiguous. She's, like, she's more fun. She gambles. She's got, like, all sorts of mysterious past.
All right, so we're having a tough time on this one.
O'Brien's just a boring Irish guy.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think O'Brien had long proven himself previously in TNG.
Oh, I know. What did he ever do in TNG?
Oh, The Wounded? He's so great in The Wounded.
Oh, okay. That's his one episode.
Well, like, I don't... Well,
I mean...
Hard about, Time.
Hard Time? Yeah, Hard Time, where, like,
he's gonna kill himself.
That's Deep Space Nine, right?
That is Deep Space Nine, yeah.
But
that's the one where like he's in his mind for 20 years. What about the one where like he's a duplicate? Remember, there's like the one.
The Whispers.
Yeah,
the Whispers.
And his duplicate gets killed, and then there's the one where he's like undercover with the Orion Syndicate too. Is kind of. Mm-hmm.
I don't know
that one. It's like I think that's a season 7.
So see, I've got to like put a stamp on O'Brien. O'Brien can't be the most boring. So it's either gonna be Jake or Jed Z.
There's
so.
No way Jake is more interesting than Dax. Jake is so thrilling.
Yeah, no, I think Jake is.
Okay, so Jake is the least interesting. So at least we've discovered that. Now let's go over to Voyager. Who is the least interesting character of Voyager?
I'm thinking.
Well, let's put out some. So Kes left early. Was Kes the least interesting?
Oh, no, I love Kes.
Is Harry Kim?
Ooh, Harry Kim probably.
Harry Kim or Tom Paris?
No, I like Tom.
You like Tom? Okay, Tom.
Tom's cool. He was like she picks him up from jail. That's how he starts the series. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what about who's the engineer?
B'Elanna Torres.
B'Elanna Torres.
She's kind of interesting. She's
is
like
she
this...
interesting or is she just Klingon?
You know, that's a good thing to think about with a lot of characters.
I know. If you have ridges on your head, you're more interesting by default, right?
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I would say Harry... I'm very unfond of Neelix. So, he's
okay.
another one. And he's, like, a character you would think would be interesting. He's kind of like the Quark of the series, but he is... I'm so bored by anything he does.
That's interesting. I mean... Yes, Neelix is the default, like, but Neelix is so, to me, he's so irritating that he gets beyond, like, the boring version, right? Like it's like, at least you feel something.
True, whereas Harry Kim is just, like, wallpaper, he's nothing.
7 of 9.
No.
You think 7 of 9 is the most boring character?
Oh, man, she's...
Wow, oh, wow, I like that, that's a hot take.
She's top 3 for me. She, especially once... Because, like, I've heard you talk that you don't like her addition. That's when you stop liking the show. To me, that's where the show gets good.
Well,
seasons 4 through 7.
I think, again, and I talked about like the blatant sexualization of it. I think that was the thing which mostly turned me off.
Her outfit is the worst.
Yes.
But it is funny that they explain it that the doctor is the one who designs it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I tried to make it flattering. Like every time I see that she's actually has heels, it's so upsetting. It's just like, why would you do that?
We are the Boar, we will wear heels. Yeah.
It's so rough. But she really gets some great episodes.
She does, but they wrote hard to her. They were all in on her. Like, yeah. So I have a hard time thinking that she's the least interesting. Should we just say Harry Kim? I mean, Harry Kim feels like the easy... Or do you want to stick with 7
of 9? No, Harry Kim, but like I still think 7 of 9 isn't the most interesting character.
Wow, we have really got some divergence here. I like this.
Yeah, I think Harry Kim for sure.
I would say Harry Kim, even though I did see him at one of the Star Trek conventions a few years ago, and he laughed and nodded at my costume, so... Which was me in a... Yeah.
One defense of Harry Kim, too. He gets a fantastic episode with the episode where... Gosh, I can't remember the name, but it's the episode that Geordi guest stars in.
The
time travel episode? Yep. Harry's responsible for destroying the Voyager, and so then it's like a whole thing where old Harry has to go back or something.
Oh, okay.
It's great. I don't remember that one. He's a criminal, because he gets back to the Alpha Quadrant.
With Chakotay?
Him and Chakotay get back. And they're being pursued by Captain Geordi in his ship at this point. It's pretty great.
I might have to watch. That's
also
season,
a
right?
LeVar Burton directed episode.
Oh. It's not Bliss. It's
look at this kid. He knows. Yeah.
It's something with an I. I think like it's a shoot.
It's gonna bug me.
Need the Netflix.
What about Chakotay? Do we give him love to any negative love for Chakotay or
he's kind of middle.
He's a lower middle for me, but he's. Definitely, I'd take him over Harry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's face these two off. Let's take Harry Kim versus Jake Sisko. Who are we?
The weakest battle of all time.
Yeah. The battle where we all sleep, and then we hope one of them dies when we wake up. Yeah. No, that's me. That's me. We just hope one of them is visited by their older self and made more interesting, right?
Yeah, that's really their two episodes.
Right, and it's all time travel. It's like, what if we recast this as someone else and made them far more interesting?
Oh, my God.
So, Jake or Harry? I will say, I'm going to say it's going to be Harry.
Harry.
Like, Harry is the least interesting out of all of them.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Because at least, like, first of all, Sir Auchinleck didn't, like, he's a kid, and then they grow into it.
And I actually really like the acting. Uh-huh. I like Jake, he's so annoying, but he's, like, I believe him, you know? He's just this goofy, annoying kid. I like him.
Yeah. Oh, my wife's coming in here with a bird.
Hey.
All right. And Lucky has now joined our group here. Thanks, man.
Oh, wow.
Don't put him on the microphone. So if you hear some chirping, that's our bird. It's not a founder or a changeling. At least we don't think so.
Yeah, Jake. Yeah, Harry.
At least has his writing.
He has his writing.
Harry's got a clarinet.
Harry's got a clarinet. I'm saying never one.
What was the thing too? They kept Harry Kim and got rid of Kes.
Yeah, because he was voted by CD Guide. Yeah, one of the
The worst choice ever. Like kill Harry Kim.
Kes was becoming interesting. She was becoming great. Like, she was able to talk to species 8472. And what an interesting thing.
And then, much more endearing. Much like I cared about what happened to her. Like,
So and they were kind of like separating her and Neelix. They were kind of finding their own vibes.
I just watched that episode where they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
The bird is on you.
It's okay.
Love you, Mom. Sorry.
My son loves my wife, so there we go.
I just watched that episode, and I looked up if that's going to stay forever. It does.
What's that?
That they broke up.
Yeah, they broke up. It was...
Yeah, it was so weird. And, like, why they broke up was also really weird.
Why'd they break up?
Because, do you remember that episode where they broke up because...
What are we talking about?
Someone,
Kes and Neelix?
Voyager, yeah.
Someone, a warlord took over Kes's body and...
Oh, yeah.
And made her... And, like said, you're so annoying, Neelix. I'm breaking up with you. And then right at the end, like, they're hugging, but then they're still broken up. The next episode. And Kes never, like, chooses
never
to
clear... resolve that.
Yeah, no, Chess... Chess. Kes, Kes never chooses to resolve it with Neelix.
Wow.
And never tells him that she was possessed by a warlord.
David, are you okay with having that bird on you? There's a bird on his leg.
No, it's good. I just don't want to forget about him.
Oh, yeah, just be careful. Yeah, he's...
No, he's...
Is he biting your finger?
Or... Yeah, it's
all right. All right, so... What, so we got sidetracked on the Kes Neelix thing.
All right, so Harry's the worst.
Harry's the worst in that battle. So now let's, and we don't have to let him know. We don't have to let Garrett Yang know about that. Garrett Wang.
Poor Garrett Wang.
Yeah. But he goes to conventions all the time. I feel worse for the actress playing Kes because she's gone to jail several times.
Yeah, she had a meth problem maybe? Or
I think so. Yeah, she's like taking off her clothes and yelling at kids and, you know, so
it's
weird.
It's not good.
Jeez. Sounds good. All right, so... he likes you. He's hanging out with you.
He's fine. That's, all right. Remember not to move my leg.
Don't move your leg.
Yeah.
Here, make sure he doesn't move his leg. All right, so let's move on. Let's go to security officer, because that's the one I can remember now. So okay. I think we have... It's, I believe, Worf for Deep Space Nine?
No, Worf Odo.
Oh, yeah. Let's do Odo.
Technically, Eddington. They go through three.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Well, is... No, because Worf is...
tactical officer.
He's not security. So it's Odo...
And Eddington.
And Eddington's a half season.
Let's
go Odo.
Let's go Odo. Yeah. Odo's on the table versus Tuvok.
Tuvok.
Okay.
All right, so...
Interesting.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting little matchup, right? Odo versus Tuvok.
Yeah, yeah.
David, you Kieran had the last one. David, you weigh in. What do you think?
Now, are we still doing least interesting, or who's better? Or?
Just who's better. Let's. I mean, like, we don't have to... I mean, you know, we can do least interesting, but now it's just who's... Who would you take out of those two? Just, like, you know, I mean...
For me, Odo pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Tuvok, but he's... It's kind of... I think I was talking to Willie Roberts about this. Like, where Vulcans... Like, it's... There's not... Most of the people playing Vulcans, they're kind of just doing Spock.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, their own Vulcan character.
Yep.
So, it's kind of... He doesn't really add anything to, like, Vulcan lore for me. I mean, he's just...
The Ponfar.
Well, Ponfar was...
Was that...
Oh, yeah. It was way
before.
Really?
Yeah.
In, like, the original?
Yeah. Amok Time, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Great episode. Like, one of the best episodes.
Yeah, so I mean, he's just having Spock episodes, and
it's hard because Vulcans, by default, like the best way to play the Vulcan is to do nothing. Is to be like, if I don't do anything, I'm a Vulcan. Because like, especially like full on Vulcans, because they have no emotion. Whereas Spock was always fighting his like half human side.
Yeah.
We're having a narrative now with the bird is crawling down David's leg here, so he seems okay. I would... Kieran, what do you think? Odo or Tuvok?
I don't know. I'm kind of growing a soft side for Tuvok, but I really like Odo. I think the thing that sets Tuvok apart from all the other Vulcans is his relationship with Janeway.
Mm-hmm.
That's like... You don't really see that a lot, of a Vulcan actually having a really true and, like, nice relationship.
Well, I mean, Kirk Spock, though.
Kirk Spock's pretty good, yeah. And then, I mean, even, like, Archer and T'Pol, you know, grew into it, sort of.
Yeah, but you just, like, there's something special about
them. They're a much stronger friendship.
Yeah.
It became a much more, like, intimate friendship, like, a deep friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Kirk and Spock were mostly, like, kind of, like, associates or good work friends.
Yeah, they're not really great friends till the movies, right?
Yeah, it's... yeah.
Until
Spock dies. Spock has to die before Kirk realizes how much he actually likes him.
Yeah. Well, it's... I don't want to get off track, but that... Spock in the motion picture is so weird.
Yeah.
I hate that choice of how he's, like is just, like, a jerk to everyone. And I don't know. It's so...
Well, everyone's a jerk to everyone in that movie.
It's so weird.
It's such a Discord, you know, based film where... Kirk has to take over... I mean, we talked about this before, but Kirk has to take over the Enterprise from Decker,
yeah.
And McCoy doesn't want to be there, and Spock has to be there.
No one wants to be there.
No one wants to be there. I mean, yeah. I guess, like, Chekhov wants to be there, but then he gets his arm blown up, basically, by lightning.
Yeah.
Remember that? Oh.
Poor Chekhov. Or Chekhov.
Chekhov in three different movies.
He's the, always gets a bug in his ear.
Hammered, yeah, bug in his ear.
Falls in the submarine or something.
Yeah, he falls off the aircraft carrier and poor. Yeah, poor guy. And then he wears a horrible outfit in Star Trek III. So
it's an Odo Tuvok.
I think Odo.
I think Odo's. Yeah. Odo feels like the, because he had such a strong arc.
The first time we're seeing a changeling. It's an interesting guy. Especially the first couple seasons, you're like, oh, weird. They just really wanted to have a CG guy.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, look what we can do with this 1997 which also, CG.
The effect too. It's just so. It's a gold puddle.
It's so bad.
It's good.
And then they got that kind of Michael Jackson black or white video morphing thing. It's like, we can morph him into anything we want. He can turn into a bird. He can turn into a rock. And it'll all look terrible. You know? Wow, this is impressive, guys. Good job.
I think I said this on one of the shows before, but having the worst thing they ever did was having all the founders look like Odo.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they forgot their writing because they were like, his whole thing is he can't do faces. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to the change again. None of them, but if he does, but they can do any other human perfect. Like they can copy any, like be a Cisco, but
when they want to look at their natural form, which is not their natural form, they'll look like Odo. Yeah.
It's so bad.
Walk around like Cisco or O'Brien, you know. Oh, how you doing here, Cisco? You know,
love that so much.
Yeah. They should look like really like super good humans. Like even more real than real humans. Like,
you know, to me, that's wrinkly. Just like 90s, like, was the episodic writing of like the audience needs to understand that this is an Odo.
These are all the same.
Yeah,
yeah, because we don't want to pay for them being like this gelatinous blobs the whole time, and we don't want to have them just walking around like regular humans. Yeah, and then we'll cast the person who looked just like the same makeup in The Chase. So that it's even more confusing.
That's such a good episode.
It's a great episode.
Oh my god, that's my favorite episode.
Should have been a two-parter though, or a five-parter. No.
No, that's what you say about it all.
Well, I'm right. I'm right. All right, let's move on.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on. All right, so let's do science. Let's do medical. Let's do medical. Mm. Medical's what we can do.
Okay.
We got Bashir versus the doctor.
Oh, that's good.
That's really good.
Okay, go Kiernan. Ball's in your court. Go.
Oh no, I can't. You go. I can't.
Okay.
I'll go with the other one.
Well, I would say character I like more. The EMH holographic doctor. He's also my second favorite Voyager character.
Who's your first?
Janeway. Mm. It's pretty much Janeway, Doctor, 709 are like my top three. So
that's the way it kind of turned out towards the end, right?
Yeah,
just put those three guys on the ship, and everyone else is
the doctor. Especially, so we should do an episode just about the episode where he makes the command hologram program. His like blue uniform turns red.
Is this the one where he's dreaming and the people are observing him?
Or
the dream?
Or are they observing him in the holodeck? Or
no, he's having like he programmed himself to have
programmed dreams. Yeah,
that's a. It's ridiculous. Really
good.
It's ridiculous.
But, lots of dreams in Voyager.
Now, these are probably the two smartest doctors. You've got the genetically engineered Bashir versus a hologram.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel like probably, though, Bashir is the better doctor because EMH is constantly... He has, like... They almost made him too, like, human of a program where his, like, ego gets in the way all the time.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, you know, something horrible could be happening, but he's like, oh, well, look
at... Yeah.
He's like, yeah, maybe I'll become a singer on this planet for a while.
He's like, can we not change the setting so he does not want to be a singer?
Where Bashir seems to be able to, like, make really reasonable choices for almost consistently through the series. And... we already did the episode. One of my favorite moments is when they find him in prison in that two-parter of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah.
And you find out he's been gone for however long. I remember when I saw that when that aired, and I was like, oh, this is the best show.
Yeah.
You know how many times a changeling impersonates Bashir? It's like so many.
It's a lot.
Really?
Yeah, it's like...
It's at least one more
time. It's probably like... No, it's like a lot because in season 3 the finale, like the changeling mainly impersonates him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And like again, it's ridiculous. I think he's the most changeling changed.
Changelinged.
Changeling.
The most changeling.
The most changeling. The most consistently changelinged. That's what we're looking for, right? So what would we decide? Would we decide on the Doctor or Bashir?
I guess I'll go with Bashir, just because of his determination.
Okay.
That we see in the quickening.
Okay.
I hated Bashir, and I told Dad that, and I was like, I hated Bashir, like, I cannot stand him. Yeah. He was so stupid, and, like, I didn't like him, but then as soon as I watched The Quickening, it changed my whole perspective. He was so determined, and he wouldn't stop until he found a cure.
Yeah, that's a really good one, and I kind of like the early Bashir, too, where he's kind of just a little creep.
Yeah,
and he's obsessed with Jadzia, and he's like, I don't know, it was a fun, like, take on a character. I mean, I guess, I'm trying to think of who was kind of like, I know there's an episode of with Geordi where, like, there's one that's like, isn't there an episode where it's just Geordi trying to, like, date? Where he goes on, it's the one with the woman who created the inner design.
Oh!
Dr. Leah Brahms, yeah, well, that's like where he tries to date.
It's the one where he meets the real her.
Oh, right, and then, yeah, it's so creepy, because then she walks in on it, and,
you know,
I didn't watch that one. I watched the one with the hologram.
It's not great. It's interesting.
It's interesting because it's like it paints a weird light on Geordi that you don't normally see. You're like, oh, he's kind of like this weird lonely dude. Like,
right, yeah, who creeps out and like creates this woman, a real woman. Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll say the Doctor. I'll go off and say the Doctor just because they really, I feel like the writers really struggled with Bashir for the first three or four seasons, and then they were like,
oh,
and then he's genetically modified. Didn't he tell you that? Isn't that something we should tell you? And then they kind of retconned him, which made him far more interesting.
Yeah.
But the Doctor was like sort of like Odo, just this whole new creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And has kind of defined it for whatever comes next. You know?
Made Voyager much better. Because DS9 was already like pretty good with Odo, Sisko and the Major.
Mm-hmm.
Voyager needed the extra like boost of a good character because they only had a good character like Catherine Janeway. So I think that
Definitely like
it
season
made
one
Voyager better.
Voyager's rough where you're like, okay, I like Janeway.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've got the Doctor, and then you've got these kind of irritating aliens.
I would say then maybe Kes for me is like number three in the early years. It's like
very
it's
possible.
Rough,
yeah, at least she had something like at stake. It's like I live for 7 years and I die. So it's
bird. Oh. Sorry.
So you just heard, if you're listening, the bird sneeze and then my son sneeze. So
I knew that was going to happen. That you were going to point that out.
All right, so let's go to second in command then. Let's
turn.
So Major Kira.
Versus Chakotay.
Ooh, versus Chakotay.
That one's easy.
Major Kira.
Chakotay
has some good moments. He's kind of interesting, and then he's kind of just the same. And they just forget about that he's a Maquis. He's actually kind of like a really good Starfleet like guy. He's
Like by episode 3, they fold into the fact that the Maquis is just basically Starfleet. So.
When is it? Yeah, he's. His background's Starfleet, and then
he graduated
the Maquis.
From Starfleet,
and then he joins the Maquis, and then, you know.
It's like, he's that guy, I want to like him, but then when I try to think about his good moments, I can't really think of it. Like, I know he's the big part of Scorpion or whatever, where he, like, is the one who has the Borg stuff in him. He
helps,
like.
Did he have the Borg stuff
in him? He's the one who, like, Scorpion stings 7 of 9, I guess. And when they disconnect her or whatever.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
It's because before they establish it, that episode where he finds the colony of people that are like a collective.
I just watched that yesterday.
Okay.
And
they
actually assimilate him into their group.
Is that
then
Matrix Zero? Is that what
Unity.
Unity, yeah.
Okay.
And so he still like has like some implant or something after Unity, and they use
so
that
dumb.
In Scorpion. Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah.
So dumb because they said that like in Unity because I just watched it yesterday. They were like, yeah, your implant's gone, we just did a full brain scan, it's gone forever, we'll never see it ever again.
Yeah.
And Chakotay, you are clear, you will never be a part of the Borg ever again,
you'll never be interesting again, don't worry about that, we've got you covered. Why keep something super interesting like your part Borg?
Yeah.
But because they were planning on having a Borg, like a female Borg on the show, they had to kind of probably clear that off, you know.
Totally.
Because otherwise he would be interesting, and they didn't want that, so. And but he had a tattoo. Super interesting.
That Mike Tyson tattoo.
Yeah, the Mike Tyson tattoo.
I'll say, I love Major Kira, but Bajor episodes are my least favorite Deep Space Nine. So it's like, I love her, and I love anything with her, like, going off book and like kicking Cardassian in the ass, but like
right,
like anything, like especially Bajor religion episodes are just the.
Like, I need to go to the temple in order to change the prayer rags. Like, oh Jesus, oh, you know.
And I,
Kira, where have you been? You need to pray. No. Go, stop.
Something about that character's personality. She seems so fake when she's trying to be nice. I don't know. That was the thing. Like, she just seems like a phony. Like, I feel like she just wants to be mad all the time. Yeah. So whenever they have to have her be nice, it's just kind of like, what are you doing, Kira?
Well, and I mean, I've said this many times before, but originally that was going to be Michelle Forbes' character, Ensign Roe.
Oh, right, yeah.
So who's a character and an actress who is always on mean setting 9, you know? And then, like, if you get her to go down to mean setting 7, that's nice. So I think Nana, Visitor... I think she kind of had to work to find those kind of differences.
Because right,
I'm pretty sure they basically just gave her the script and said, okay, you're Ensign Roe now.
Good, and just kept writing Ensign Roe for her.
For a while, and then they kind of started to find it. But, I mean, it feels like they never quite cracked her.
Even later when she's, like, with Odo, it's weird. I don't quite buy it. Like,
Kieran and I just had a discussion, because he saw the one where one of my favorite bad ones where...
bad ones.
Where Kira's in that big crystal, like she's slipping by that crystal.
I thought you liked that one.
I think it's so ridiculous because her head's just like sticking out of this kind of like rock candy thing.
But you actually said in the car, you were like, oh, I liked that one a lot.
Well, when I listened to it again, like I like the end where the founder's like, we needed to test you. But it's such a dumb thing all the way through where it's like, they're trying to ship these two characters.
Yeah.
Because
the guy just died.
Right, because they killed off the Vedic Bri, I think his name was, or was it?
Did they kill him off? I can't.
Yeah, remember his brain got like blown halfway off.
Yes.
And they had bring him back.
Yeah.
But that was such a good relationship between him and Major Kira, such an organic relationship between these two, and then they killed him off so that they could clear the way for two regulars to fall in love.
Yeah,
which no one cared about, like the Odo Kira thing. It's like really, but he's like jelly and she's like a Bajoran and.
Yeah, it's weird.
And they forced it, and then it finally never worked. And then, like, he just goes off to be in the goop, and that's the end of that.
So bad.
I hate that the last thing you see is Odo putting, like, the tux on.
Oh,
it's the worst.
I hate that they had to...
Yeah, that... You hate what, buddy?
That they had to give Odo away.
Oh, to put him in the Great Link?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's where he needed to go, though. He had to go and, like, be with his people.
But it...
I mean, and he had to give him
the
cure.
It wasn't even a choice.
Well, yeah. He felt like though he had to give them the cure.
Wasn't, I'm sorry, I might be getting this wrong, but wasn't a part of the treaty him coming back to the...
I think it's something he wanted to do in some degree. I mean...
Yeah, but the part of the treaty was to go back to cure all of his people.
I don't know if that's in the treaty. I know part of it is that the lead founder is like goes to jail.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she doesn't go back to the Link. They, like, imprison her for, like, 100 years or something.
So ridiculous. All right, Puddle, you're going to jail, you know?
Yeah. I just realized that the Borg and the Dominion are really similar. They're all one thought. They all have one thought.
Well, yeah.
Or, like, the founders, you mean?
Yeah,
like?
the founders, not the Dominion, sorry.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they're kind of, I mean...
And they both, like say, they tell the humans, like... You're nothing. This is all of us.
Yeah, that's a good point. They both are kind of this sort of collective consciousness. Mm-hmm.
You're right. Yeah, there is something, and it is certainly about the American exceptionalism of the individual over the group.
Changelings, though, they're more like it's like a group share thing, whereas the Borg, it's like one mind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And basically, like you give up all individuality. Where to me, it feels like all they all kind of link together, and then they're able to separate and be individuals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, let's all get together, let's kind of have this congress, and then we separate. So, but that is an interesting point, buddy. Yeah, that's why the kid's here, right? You know. Plus, he knows like more episodes than we already do. He's like, what about that one? I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that one. All right, so Major Kira. Oh, done. Let's see. Science officers?
We just talked about that.
Well, now, here's the thing, too.
7 of 9 versus...
Oh, yeah, I guess it becomes 7 of... Because before 7 of 9, I always thought is technically almost Janeway is the science officer.
Sort of. They don't really have a science officer. I mean, yeah. Is it Harry Kim? I mean, like, who...
Harry Kim?
Nah, Harry Kim.
I said Harry Kim, yeah.
Did you say Harry Kim?
I did say Harry Kim.
Nah, Harry Kim's an operator.
He's operations. They don't really have... It's sort of like this kind of group, you know, working out of problems. But they don't really have a science officer.
Yeah.
I mean...
Sorry, I just...
You can raise your hand, but you just go ahead and talk, buddy. It's fine.
Hi, okay. No, no, it's completely separate from what all this is.
Yeah.
So I just realized that all of them... All of the captains have, like, labels. So the scientist, the war hero, the diplomat, the wanderer, and the explorer.
Okay. You just came up with that?
Yeah.
All right, well, very good, buddy. The scientist, the diplomat, the...
Which one's the war hero?
Cisco.
Well, yeah. Well, he becomes the war hero. For
sure.
Oh, okay.
And he certainly survived Wolf 359. Mm-hmm. So he's the warrior.
The warrior. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe one of my favorite scenes in all of DS9 is the first scene with him and Picard.
Oh yeah, that's great. He was just so angry. Yeah.
It's great seeing someone be like a jerk to Picard. Like you never see that really, and then you're like, oh man, this guy is like, and Picard knows like he can't really say anything. It's great.
Yeah, he kind of has to take
it. I wish there were more scenes like that,
especially since he's on Deep Space Nine, the series Deep Space Nine. It's like if you ever like read like comic books, mm-hmm. and one superhero goes to that superhero's comic book, he always looks worse.
Yeah,
because it's like, you know, you can't have like, you know. Even when, like, Superman shows up to Batman's comic book, somehow Batman's better than Superman, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, man, Batman really showed Superman. It's like, Superman can do anything, so he's probably smarter than Batman. But in Deep Space Nine, opening episode, Sisko kind of gets the better of
Batman. Oh, yeah. Such a good episode.
Yeah. I just always remember that shot of them in the shuttlecraft as it's leaving the kind of Reliant Bay, the Miranda-class ship, as it's being destroyed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the Battle of 359. So good. Such a...
Also the most we get to see of Wolf 359, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, like, because otherwise we just, you know, the battle does not go well, Picard, and then static, and then they just...
And then just dead ships.
Yeah, so that was a nice way to kind of, like, include that. Good. All right, so we have Jadzia versus 7 of 9.
Oof, okay, that's it. And... Oh, yeah, because after Jadzia dies, Ezri's the counselor, so that doesn't count. So, yeah, it's just Jadzia.
Ooh, Ezri. I don't know. I don't know if we can dig into Ezri too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you could like Ezri more. You can't like Ezri more than Jadzia.
And I don't know if that character actually availed herself to any degree. Like, to you have a year. You have 22 episodes.
Yeah, she had It was a rough spot.
It was a rough spot
to come in on. Yeah,
to come in, you know, and it's like, hey guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That'd be tough. But
I mean,
dude, that's a really good kind of a. We're doing, like, these Super Smash Bros. Rounds. Like, that's, like, a good matchup, Jadzia 7 of 9.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about, like, I mean...
Jadzia.
I mean, oh, you think Jadzia is a better science officer? I mean, Jadzia has certainly more experience, having been around for hundreds of years.
Although, a better science officer or a better character?
Let's just say better character, though.
Oh, Jadzia.
I'd agree.
Really? Interesting.
But better science officer...
is 7 of 9.
Yeah, I mean, because she has collective experience of the Borg.
She's just like a walking computer anyway.
One of my favorite episodes is a think tank in Voyager, where they want to have 7 of 9 join this group of, like, elite aliens that, like, solve problems, and they're also, like, these weird con men.
Oh.
You should watch it. Think tank's really good. It's got Jason Alexander is, like, the main guest star in a really, really funny wig.
Jason Alexander always wanted to be Captain Kirk too. He's a big Star Trek fan.
They talk about that they've said in a couple episodes that she technically is probably the most intelligent human alive.
Okay.
That's not a Borg. So,
well, she's part Borg. That's the thing. I mean, she has all the implants, which I'm presuming.
Yeah. Yeah. So they say in one of the Voyager episodes that, like, she has the highest IQ any human probably has.
Oh, okay.
So,
what was her name? Year?
Anna? Was that her, like, her mm-hmm. human name?
Okay. Annika or something.
Annika?
Annika, yeah.
Annika, okay. All right, so we're saying Jadzia is the better character.
Character, 7 better officer.
I'll take that. I mean, better alien?
Engineer.
Hmm?
Better engineer.
Oh, engineer. Yeah, okay, let's do engineer. So we have O'Brien versus B'Elanna.
Well, sorry, I have opinions on this. Yeah, cool. Better actual engineer or better character?
Well, let's do both. Better engineer. Better, like, actual...
I've spent a lot of time, like, a lot of intense time thinking... thinking about which is the best engineer. And I think, like, I've actually thought... And I think B'Elanna might... She made the best of the situation of being, like, being stuck in the Delta Quadrant. But mm-hmm. O'Brien also made the best of the situation being stuck on a bad Cardassian...
Space station.
So, but I think in the end, B'Elanna saved the crew from... It was more focused on engineering to get the crew back home.
She had more on the line.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
this is true. Yeah, O'Brien could fix stuff, and if something broke down, he could just get repairs. He could get, like, stuff shipped in.
But he's really smart, and I think he's second, probably.
Okay. I would say he is such an everyman that the fact that he isn't the best is part of his charm.
Yes.
That he's just like, I'm doing the best I can. we'll say this some of the time, but...
I mean, that's kind of what I'd say, too. What? Like, he's... Well, there's a kind of an ongoing theme with every Trek show where the engineer, they always... Whoever's the your show's engineer... They kind of write the character that they're like almost like the most exceptional engineer.
Exactly. Yeah, and they
like Geordi is like they're all kind of considered brilliant, whereas like I like O'Brien because he's not an officer, he's a master chief.
Right.
So he's the highest ranking enlisted man you could be.
Right.
And he's just years of experience. Like he's like been in Starfleet for like I think it's supposed to be like at least 25 years or something.
Yeah.
So to me, he's like your standard Starfleet engineer, and like he, but then they put him in positions where he's got to do crazy things throughout, like once they get in like the war and stuff. But like, you know, B'Elanna is like she's got tons on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they almost paint like Geordi and Scotty though are almost like kind of they almost make it that they're like legit geniuses. Like,
yeah.
Especially Scotty later on. And Trip,
yeah.
Trip for sure. So it's kind of like, and they even do a joke on one of these really corny lines from Deep Space Nine, but he's like, there's one where there's like a Vorta and he's been shot and he wants to like, he like betrays his Jem'Hadar. They're like stranded on some planet to Sisko and he's like, talks about how, he's like, I want one of your Starfleet engineers who can turn rocks into replicators.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that is what they try to paint it, that they literally can do anything.
Yeah, it's true.
And
yeah.
So, which I don't necessarily like all the time, which is why I kind of like O'Brien because I like that like everyman, meat and potatoes, just like yeah, that's my job. I do it. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, a lot of times it is sort of like having like a pit crew engineer or like mechanic for like a Formula One race guy, and then O'Brien's just like your guy down the street who's like going to fix your car.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I got to bring my car in. I don't need someone to fix my Formula One car. I need someone who's going to fix my Chevy. You know, yeah. It's like, you know.
But if I had to, if it was my ship and I had to pick my engineer, I'd probably take O'Brien over B'Elanna.
Hmm.
I don't know. I like the years of experience. And the
I'd say that too. I mean, like in a pinch, you know, I could also say like Scotty too, in addition to being a genius, he is also like one of those World War II engineers where it's like, he's sort of a marriage between like Geordi, the theoretical, and O'Brien, the practical. Where it's like, I'll rig something together, you know.
Yeah, like Scotty's got like an everyman quality, but then he's also like it's like he's like some genius, like you know, nuclear physicist or something. Like,
yeah,
is that more in the movies though? I'm trying to remember if in TOS if they actually like made him seem like a genius, where because they really play that up in the movies.
In the movies for sure, especially Star Trek 4 when he's like turn aluminum. But
yeah.
I mean, I feel like he was. I'm trying to think. I mean, there were some episodes where like. I think he was more of just like a mechanic. I mean, because sometimes Spock helped him out, you know, like, there were a couple of times when Spock would have to go down to engineering and help him with stuff, where he'd be like when they were trying to cold start the engines in the Naked Time, and during the Enterprise incident where they were trying to put in the cloaking device, and that, I think Spock went down there and tried to help him put it in, they were like, we're working on it. So, I mean, he's very competent, but he's not, like, he doesn't mind having Spock there. Whereas Geordi, Geordi is kind of like, well, he works with Data a little bit too, I guess. But they're like so high up there.
Those two makes sense though, because they're also like, you would expect them to be better because they're the flagship engineers.
Yes, although Geordi, as we remember, was the helmsman at first.
Which is weird. It's weird because it's like, why would you not have the best engineer on the Enterprise, and then you get Geordi, who turns out to be conveniently. But like, wasn't there there's like an engineer who wears one of those goofy uniforms season one?
There were three different people who played engineers in the first season.
Yeah, I remember one guy who like kind of had like a comb over and like a mustache.
Yeah. There was that guy. There was a woman, and then I think there was an Indian guy, a Hindu guy, I think. I could be wrong about that. I think both in the original series and the Next Generation, they were convinced they didn't need someone in engineering.
Yeah, Scotty kind of gets thrown in there too, huh? Does he start that way?
He doesn't. Well, I believe in the original pilots, they didn't have someone in engineering. And then they said, we should have someone in engineering. Because, you know, you want someone in the boiler there telling you because you always need someone to remind you of the stakes. You know, like, oh, the engine's going to blow up if we don't do X, Y, Z. You know?
It's kind of interesting that then O'Brien's really the first truly cast engineer in Star Trek.
Yeah, he's the one who's kind of thrown into the fire. And, of course, let's remember also that he was a transporter chief, and now he is the main mechanic, I guess. And
yeah, that's weird, too. Why did he go from transporter chief? I don't, like, there's always something that screws it up. Like, if it would just be... If Geordi was just the best engineer, then he'd be like, yeah, but it's like, oh, he's the helmsman.
How does Starfleet exist when they just keep on reassigning people to weird stuff? It's like, I was in security, and now all of a sudden I'm the transporter chief, and now I'm the head nurse. What's going on?
Yeah, it's like, while he was he taking, like, night classes to be, like, while he's the helmsman, he's, like, learning, like, you know, about...
And remember, like, Dr. Crusher and Troy... both like went to like they both got like certified to be the captain. Remember that? Like when you have to pass this test in order to be the captain. Isn't there someone else on a 1,000-people crewed ship who can be the captain? Or should we have the chief medical officer be the captain?
It's so weird. It's like that they're putting the importance on you're a senior officer, so you should be able to do it. But it's like you never would need the counselor to do it.
Like in Disaster, like it falls to Troy. Like you're like, you know, between O'Brien, who is, you know, the head mechanic, and Ensign Rowe, who has all this field experience, I guess the counselor is in charge. You're like, who has never thought out this chain of command? Oh, by the way, I'm the counselor, guys, but it doesn't work out. You know, I'm going to step aside.
You know what weirds me out, too, is there's, like, whenever you see, like, say in Next Gen, when you see people just walking through the hallway wearing red, I'm always wondering, like, because that's command.
Yeah.
And so you're either, like... a commanding officer or a pilot, right? Or a helmsman. Like, what else would red do in once it's... or what command do? That always kind of...
I mean, security? Out. Wasn't, like, red security?
No, that's original.
Yeah, that's right. So, red was kind of an underused color, especially Next Generation, because they just didn't... they didn't quite think it out very well.
Well, to me, it makes sense. Like, why would you have random red guys around if they random command of any whatever color? It's like, it's weird. It's like,
what was the guy in Lower Decks who was kind of Riker's equivalent? Remember, like the lieutenant.
Oh, yeah.
What was his job? Was it security or was it? He was
security.
So security. Like, there's. It feels like, they never quite satisfied that. I mean,
yeah, because to me, there should be. It should just be like straight up commanders and like. Pilot guys, like that's nothing else I can think of really makes sense.
I mean, in the original series, it kind of became like retroactive, like okay, red is because again, red is like was security and engineering.
It was operations. So.
Gold was command and helmsman, and then blue was sciences.
Gold was command and helmsman, but they did it the most in that show. I feel like where you just see yellow guys everywhere and yellow women.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they just I mean they just had extra shirts.
Yellow is security, right?
But in the original series.
Oh, it's... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so... You know, part of the reason why I think the Federation wins so many battles is because no enemy can figure out who the hell's in charge. Yeah. It's like, there's a guy in red shooting him.
They don't know it's
gold now. It's gold? Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, there's a science officer. No, it's teal now. That's like, oh, Jesus.
It's like officers in the military not wanting to wear their, like... Exactly. And stuff. It's like you don't know who to kill.
You don't know.
You're like, I don't know who the leader is.
Just kind of mix it up every couple of years. Okay.
Three red guys, three blue guys, three... I don't know.
I guess shoot that guy? I don't know. He seems older. He's got a beard. I don't know.
It is funny that they never really do that with any other alien races where they're always so uniform. You never get
There's no command differentiation. It's... You know, it is true. I was actually thinking a little bit about that where, in addition to that, there is no alien who is exceptional, who's like a counterpart necessarily to like Picard or Kirk or Sisko. Like, there's no one who's like, oh, this person is just as good of a captain. I mean, like, because when we were watching Balance of Terror, remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly. You just said that there.
Well, like him, but like, then he dies. You mm-hmm. know, like, we never see...
Which one's that?
That's the one where like the Romulan commander, like Mark Leonard, you know, and like they kind of battle each other.
In original
series. The original series, that one's great. But we never see like there's never like a Klingon equivalent. Maybe Kern, I guess, who is like, this guy is like a highly decorated captain who Kern, is just as good.
I would say Kern, like I almost wanted to say Dukat, but then I'm like, Dukat always gets screwed up by like ambition and like,
yeah.
And he's like, he's not really that good. He loses a lot. He kind of, it's weird. He loses battles all the time. He's like,
he
lost Deep Space Nine, and yet he's become, like, still worms his
way. He falls upward, right? It's like,
he knows, like, strategy.
Yeah.
He doesn't strategy.
Yeah, he's like a great politician.
He's a politician, yeah. Like, the closest, like, as we talk about the chase, there was that Romulan commander who signaled Picard. He was like, well, perhaps someday, Captain. Where, like, he had the presence of mind and the courage to say, contact Captain Picard, I want to talk to him for a second.
I feel like there's a lot of sensible Romulan characters throughout all the series. Like, they're kind of warlike, but they always kind of like, they're like... It's weird that the Klingons hate them so much, because they're actually kind of like... I mean, I don't know, I guess they have like... They screwed it up by having like Commander Sela, who's just like kind of a villain.
I have a very harsh opinion about, ever since the original series, how they screwed up the Romulans and just turned them into kind of these conniving weirdos who, you know, don't quite know what their objectives are.
They're so, in like the original series, they're almost like a weird like Roman Empire.
Romulans, Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And against the Klingons, that would have been great, right? I mean, like, think about this. You've got like this barbarian Klingons of TNG versus this very structured, very orderly Roman Empire kind of thing, which is like... You know, we're gonna stop them. We're gonna, you know, cut off. You know,
I guess they're playing it up. We're in Next Gen. We are mostly just seeing like their spy side and like.
Yeah, it was very Cold War kind of like Russian spies kind of nonsense. But it just didn't make them very strong, because they're always like, you know, we're gonna get this ambassador, and then we're gonna do this thing, and it'll slowly corrupt the Federation. Like, what are you guys talking about?
You know? I feel like they kind of fixed that in DS9. Like, you get a little better.
They did get better. Yeah, they did get better. And then, you know, obviously in
coming back.
Voyager, they're gone. And the Romulans is what I've been kind of my pet peeve. That's the one I was like, I was always kind of upset about. All right, so let's go for the big one. Let's go, you know.
Captain.
Let's talk. Well, before we do that, the Voyager versus Defiant. USS Voyager versus USS Defiant.
Defiant.
Yeah, well, now, what do you mean, versus, like, in stats or in a battle?
I don't know. I mean, like, which is...
If it's a battle, it's going to be a...
Defiant,
yeah. If it's... But it's... Well, it just depends if you're going to have a race, Voyager. If you're going to have Defiant. Like, Voyager's just... It's long range, built for speed.
What?
It's more or less a science ship, right? And then...
It's never clear exactly what that ship
is. No, it's a science.
They explain it in the pilot.
It's a science ship.
But then why are they going for the Maquis? I mean, like, that's like, why...
Well, it was... I think it was something to do with how fast it was. Like, they could get there. Because they technically are the... They're the only ship that can go 9.5, I think.
Or was it how spread out the Federation was?
Probably right.
During, like, the Borg? Yeah, something like that.
And if it's a science vessel, where's the head science officer?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I guess
it's so weird. Well, yeah, it's because that's her background. She was kind of like a Spock. She was
a science vessel. We're your scientists. Shut up.
That's like, they have, Voyager has the opposite problem, where it's a lack of blue shirts in that whole series.
Exactly. Like, Voyager is sort of just kind of like this, like, it's almost like a shuttlecraft. It's almost like an Uber, kind of like, they're just kind of like going, like, I see, like, the Intrepid class? Is that what that is?
Yep.
Like, the Intrepid class is almost kind of like this mid-level, like, interior of the Federation, run errands. Hey, if you want to be a science vessel, that's great. If you want to, like, be, like, a behind the line kind of defense.
A lot of it was used for battle. it was one of like the big, big ships.
Really?
It was used a lot. Well, in the last episode before all of the three-parters of DS9, do you remember the one where Bashir went into the Romulan territory?
I don't remember that one.
You remember that?
Kind of, yeah.
And they used it in Intrepid class, and they were like, oh, yeah, this was... we used an Intrepid class because it's the best ship we have.
Well, really? And then...
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and then because the Defiance is basically just a warship.
It's a warship. It's a small warship made to fight the Borg.
I say I like that ship a little more, and it's also why I kind of appreciate the Enterprise in Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Is I like that it's those are the only ships where it's not like living in like a nice apartment. Like, they're more like military vessels. They remind me of, like, submarine life or something, where they're, like...
Yeah, yeah.
I like the, like more military vibe to it, whereas, like...
It's all function.
Voyager's another, like, Enterprise, where now you're living in this, like, really... Even TOS Enterprise is more like that. Like, it's got a military vibe to it.
Yeah, it's more military. I mean, like, the crew quarters are nice.
But not too nice. They're not like
they're all
next
functional.
Gen nice. Yeah.
Next gen is like, definitely a cruise ship. It's carpeted floors.
Yeah,
that can catch on fire. By the
like,
way,
I feel like TOS only like Spock and Kirk have pretty decent rooms. But I think the other times they show people's rooms, they're not quite.
They're smaller. They're like single. Like they're like Kirk and Spock have like the double size.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think even McCoy has like a single size. So even like Chief Medical Officer gets like a little tiny.
Yeah.
Because they wanted it for.
And I like that because it's like, I like the idea of like, I don't know. There's something about that I like. I like the seeing like the Defiant cafeteria scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? It's all, it's sort of like a submarine / a destroyer kind of. You get that kind of closed in feel. I will say, now that I'm talking about it, that it was designed to fight the Borg. And in First Contact, it fails miserably.
Yeah, that was so
basically
funny.
Oh, God.
Tough little ship.
I used to not think really. That was the best,
You saw that video?
What's that?
The video of where they compared the Defiant?
No.
Okay, all right. Tough little ship. Never mind.
Well, that's in First Contact.
And he says that again. Did you know that?
No.
He says the exact same thing when Riker came on to Defiant. Remember that? It was Clone Riker.
Oh, okay.
He said the exact same thing, and then there's, like, so many memes of, like, him saying it, like, at the same time. It's like, little ship.
Oh,
nice
little ship. I don't remember that. Okay,
this is the exact same.
I'll go back and watch the Clone Riker episode.
Oh, no, that's a good one. Where Riker, Clone Riker becomes, Tom Riker becomes
Tom Riker.
Monkey.
Tom Riker pulls off his little mustache and beard.
Wait, what were we just talking about?
So Defiant versus Voyager. So
First Contact.
First Contact.
You know, I used to think that in Generations used to be my favorite of the like later movies.
Mm-hmm.
Watching, they're horrifying. They're so bad. Like watching those movies now, I would almost like take Insurrection over just because it feels like just a bad episode.
A bad TNG.
But at least it feels more like something TNG. Whereas like Generations is a horrible mess. And
Generations
then,
is bad.
But the direction of Picard in First Contact is appalling. I hate First Contact Picard.
First Contact Picard is definitely goes down a wrong direction.
And also
him.
The Defiant being the like war winning ship of the Dominion War being blown up like in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's just gone. Yeah. Fighting the ship that it's supposed to fight. It's like, oh my god, finally, here's the
we
Borg.
We built this for the... I forgot that they said
you
that. We built it for the
all of these Jem'Hadar ships with no problem. You're
and that... Because that was at least like... we'd had the Defiant for like 2 seasons, I think, when that happened.
Yeah. I mean, it should have been ready. And the Borg shouldn't have been prepared for that.
That's so bad.
And then it shows up and like, oh, goodbye. Wow. But, you know.
Anyway.
Again, like with the Federation is so inconsistent where like they build... First of all, they like no one has any idea what color scheme to clothe their people, and then they build just crazy weird ships. This is going to be able to stop the Borg. Oh, it failed like after like 3 minutes. Okay, fine. Oh, it stopped the whole Dominion fleet. Good. Good. All right, good. Well, let's work with that.
We built it. Well, win something, lose something.
Pretty good. Yeah. How the Galaxy class do against that? Oh, they just wiped him right off. They just crashed into him that one time. Okay, all right, well, that's all right.
So
still pretty good ship, yeah. All right, so let's get down to it. Let's finish this off.
Yes.
Sisko versus Janeway.
Oh!
This should be a hard one, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Because these are basically the shows. This is, you know, your two trains of thought here.
You know, I've been thinking about that, especially when I, because I'm still haven't watched all of TOS. I've been making my way through it, kind of trying to watch it in production order rather than the air order.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and so it's a little more consistent with uniforms if you do that. Like,
this is true. Yeah, yeah, and characters pop in and out in the first season. You're like, oh, where'd he go?
Was it like Sulu going from yellow to blue sometimes?
Oh, but, yeah.
I don't know. It's made me really appreciate Kirk, and I kind of love all four of the first four captains. But hey, okay, cause like Janeway, I like Janeway because she's I guess Kirk too. They're kind of like the bad boy. Like Picard's kind of the only like goody two-shoes captain. Whereas like Janeway, especially in that Voyager finale, is so great. But I like her because she's like she's the least safe. Like she will just throw them into any horrible situation because like let's check it out. Yeah, and then she's like, oh my god, what have we done? Like, and I like. You know, there's great episodes where she's the most badass to me a lot of times. Like, she's kind of like the heir to Kirk in terms of, like, being the hands-on captain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's some great episodes where she's just running around the ship like Ripley, like, shooting aliens because everyone else has been taken out. And, like, but Sisko, and I don't want to bring up his being, like, part god or whatever he becomes, oh like, the god. Prophet. The
emissary, yeah.
Emissary, yeah. I can't believe I can remember that. But... Yeah, I don't know. I like Sisko. Sisko is fun just because Avery Brooks is such a psychopath that like he's the weirdest captain. He outweirds Kirk, and he's just like
he outweirds Shatner at times.
Yeah, exactly. He's so bizarre.
I showed Kiernan. We haven't talked. Have you seen the captains?
Oh yeah,
where like he goes over Avery Brooks' house, the piano scene.
Yeah, of course.
What happens when you die? Bling bling bling. Bling 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 bling. That's nice. I like that. You
know? Yeah. They should have.
It is the most compelling thing.
Should have a podcast.
We should just post that because it is so. If you have not watched that, I don't know if we talked about this, but you got to stop right now and watch the captains, that specific scene.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll post it on our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek. Very vibrant, very, very open. But it's crazy. And Sisko's crazy. I will take issue with you a little bit about Janeway. Janeway to me feels very inconsistent. There are so many times when she's like, we have to follow the rules and regulations.
And then she breaks the rules.
And then she just throws it all away.
Well, you got her, because Kirk is like proven he'll break the rules to save his friends.
Yes.
But Janeway's less consistent. Sisko's great because it's actually probably the best arc because he gets pushed into it. And by season 6 and 7, he's like, you know, it's you're on his side even when he's helping like assassinate someone. You're like, okay,
right?
I get it. He needs to do this. Whereas, Janeway, I'll agree with you. She flips. It's so weird.
She flips a lot.
And Chakotay too. They're weird. Like in his like times where he takes issue with her and then almost like mutinies her like feels like twice. And it's just that's just kind of the bad writing. I think.
I think it is. I think it's bad writing for the first four seasons, and then they started to kind of. When 709 showed up, I think they got like the Doctor, 709, and Janeway to kind of triangulate her. But I think Sisko is probably the most consistent, probably out of any of the captains.
Because
even if you don't like what he's doing, he never wavers. He's always just like this, he's like kind of like an asshole. Excuse my language, Ken. He's so hard ass on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he never relents.
No, and that's kind of what makes him great. And he's honestly, he might be my favorite, although my favorite actor playing a captain is Patrick Stewart. But because I can just watch him do the most boring scenes and they're amazing. Like, I like him sitting on riser reading a book. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah. Like, just an English actor, just,
he's so great. But like, Sisko is probably the most interesting captain. Even take away the emissary stuff, he's such a weirdo and like. But he also is put in, him and Janeway are the two extreme captains. They're put in the crazy scenarios.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, I'm, Sisko, I guess.
Kiernan, what do you think?
It's kind of tough, but, I don't know, I really like Janeway. There was this episode that I don't think anyone will remember, but it's called Sacred Ground.
Okay.
Where Kes gets injured, mm-hmm. and it's like I'm noticing a theme where they have to save Kes a lot. It's really weird.
Is it in like an underground temple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, and like it's so ridiculous and really dumb. But at the end, like, she actually changes her views. Like, because she's always, throughout the whole episode, she's like, these gods cannot exist. And, like, even though she maintains that at the end, like, this girl, do you remember this? Where the girl, like, talks to her and she finally, like, understands, like, maybe science can explain everything. And it's, even as I'm explaining it, it doesn't feel, like, as full, but, like, the actor plays it really well, and I don't know, I think that she's one of the first captains to have changed her view.
I mean, you're making me want to go back and watch that one, because I do know that was when I was doing my rewatch. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep during that episode twice, and so I don't know if I saw it all, but
it was good. No, it's really bad. It's really terrible.
It's a rough, it's a slow one.
Yeah, yes. No, it's really slow, and like a snake stings her, and then she wakes up, and then she goes back, and she's like, "We saved Kes," and then Kes dies, and then she goes back, and then she's like, "What the hell?" And then the girl's like, "Oh well, I never said that I could save her."
Okay. I don't understand any of that.
But oh, and another strike against Janeway. Anytime you have to see her with Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, my little Katrina. Although,
what is Cisco's equivalent? What's it? Vic Fontaine. Vic Fontaine. I'll take Vic Fontaine over Da Vinci, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a good battle, right?
I mean, John Rhys Davies is that who's the
from Lord of the Rings guy?
Yeah, Sliders. Lord of the Rings and yeah. Sala from. I mean, like I'm such a big fan of his.
Yeah, he's great.
But Da Vinci is just weird.
It's just so dumb. Well, that it's fine when she's going to the holodeck, but when the episode where he. Like helps her when she's like captured on that planet, and because
and they build like a like
they build
a,
the glider.
They build the glider. I'm like,
oh my god,
woo, yeah, that's
the worst.
There's some rough spots there. Yeah, at least Vic Fontaine's like, hey, I'm just a singer on a holodeck. What are you gonna do? Oh, bada bing, bada boom. You know?
Although that also maybe the worst Q episode is in Voyager.
Q2.
With the kid?
Yep,
the,
Q2.
I think the worst one, though, is the Civil War one with the Q.
Where they put him on trial, you mean?
Like where there's an actual Q war happening. Oh. And it's being manifested as like a Civil War
battle. I just
battle.
Watched that.
It's the worst
the
thing.
The Q and the Gray, right? Is that what it's
yeah.
called?
Yeah.
That's a good title, gray, though.
Well, that we missed that one when we had our big trivia
contest.
That
one?
Our trivia contest? No, you didn't go down there. Okay. It was on Long Beach. Yeah, we had to compile like all 10 episodes of 10 of 12 of the Q episodes.
Oh, okay.
And we couldn't get Q in the Gray.
That's because it's the at least Q2 is memorable. This one is rough, and it's my problem with the Q has always been the way they manifest like their world, and it's always just these like the group of Q in the pilot of Next Gen is so stupid. Like this, like they're just weird, like. Like medieval, like
just like a bunch of monsters, like a bunch of well, it's
just like the peanut gallery of some like Shakespearean play area, like you know what I mean? Like the Q usually manifests as like working class medieval people. It's like I don't get it. I'm like,
yeah, this is your jury. This is these weirdos. Yeah, people can get into costume.
It's rough.
Yeah. All right, so did we come to a decision? Is it Cisco?
I said Cisco. What
did you say, Karen?
I don't know. It's so hard. I really love both of them. Cisco is such a good character, but Janeway is also so.
3 seconds to choose. 3, 2,
Janeway.
All right. Oof. All right. Very good. All right.
And what's the tiebreaker? Or did you already say?
I thought about this a little bit actually today, and. I would say Cisco, but honestly, like, I think Janeway is a more interesting character.
Wow.
Overall.
Change my
mind. Well, yeah, I might change my mind. Like if you have, like, if it's peacetime, you want Janeway. If it's wartime, you want Cisco.
Because
their choices are far more consistent and interesting when they're in there. But if I'm thinking about it, I think Janeway, like, for her explorative nature, and then the ability to switch into kind of this badass, even though it's flip-floppy, like, Sisko never had that curious streak to him. Never.
No. I don't think that he's a really good Starfleet.
Well, he's more of just like a straight up military guy.
He's military. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, he's the warrior, Karen. So yeah, he's the warrior.
The Picard and Janeway are like the curious ones. Even Kirk, like they're like,
yeah.
I don't know. We never talk about Archer. He's like,
I just watched an Archer episode. I'm going through phases. Archer's
easily my least favorite captain.
Archer
has his moments in some ridiculous ones.
Scott Bakula, I feel like he felt like some sort of need to thread a needle of four other captains before him, you know, and like
they're really trying to make him like a Flash Gordon, or not like Flash, more like Buck Rogers type guy, where he's just like cool space guy, like he's like, and it's almost like a kind of like a variation of Kirk.
Yeah, it was a pre-Kirk. The thing that really throws me off, I don't like
pre-Kirk.
I don't like him in the alternate universe one. He's just Scott Bakula is not good in it. He's so angry all the time. He's always talking like this. Like, vary it up, man. If you watch it, it's consistently one note through those two episodes.
Well, they're weird about mirror universe is weird because there's a certain way of like humans behave differently than everyone else, because aliens in the mirror universe, for the most part, other than when they do it in Deep Space Nine, seem like they're the same.
Yeah,
like just humans have evolved to be like
humans are more aggressive. I'm sorry, Karen. It's the second time I've sworn. Humans are jerks.
Swear jar.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, he's heard that word before. Yeah, we talked about this before. You haven't seen you haven't seen Discovery, have you?
No, I have.
Oh, you have. Okay,
I saw the whole mirror.
It's just. I mean,
that's just. It's so. Oh, and I wanted to say this, even though this has nothing to do with it. I was listening to something you recorded. I caught up on like two episodes driving here, and now I'm losing it. In Discovery,
okay, let me
think.
Can anyone explain to me, because I'm watching, you got it.
You go.
Because I'm in phases now. I have Deep Space Nine, Voyager, then Enterprise. And I'm going in that order. I'm in my Enterprise phase, and I need to know what the heck are Suliban.
Oh, the Suliban, they're...
They're like time travelers, are they?
No, the Suliban are the guys, the weird dudes who fit through doors.
That's a strictly Enterprise thing, right?
That's Enterprise.
And that's why I was thinking they're time travelers, because they never show up in any other...
I think because they're just not a great race. I mean, they were part of the Zindi. Was it the Zindi?
No, they're not a part of the Zindi.
No, they're part of the Time Traveler.
The future Federation guys are like...
They're augmenting
tracking
them,
right?
Like, are they tracking them? Yeah, they're tracking, but like, isn't like the mysterious force that is trying to uplift them? They're augmenting them to fight their temporal war, basically.
Yes.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I got in the middle of that episode, and I was like, what?
It's in the cold.
Cold temporal war?
It's in the first episode. It's in Broken Arrow.
Yeah, they're like the first bad guy. Discovery. So you were saying Discovery is Kelvin universe?
Yes.
I disagree, but it's a third.
It may be a third. I'm okay with
it's
a third.
It's a third crap. It's definitely not Prime. It's even farther than Kelvin from Prime.
There's no way it can be Prime.
But there's no way it can be Kelvin. If we're really going to break it down, because, I mean, you think we saw Klingons in Star Trek II, the stupid new con one.
Oh, right. Darkness.
And they're not monsters. So it's... We've got a whole new evolutionary track in this. What is it? The STD universe?
Yeah.
wait. I'm confused. Has it been proven that they're not in the Prime universe?
They consistently say
they are,
but there's no way. The Klingons look so weird.
I refuse.
There are holograms. We would talk to holograms all the time on ships that are in between Enterprise and TOS, and now they like.
To me, it's closer to Battlestar Galactica universe. It's just space show. We'll just call it something else. It's not Star Trek.
That's kind of how I felt like in this latest little short episode they had called Runaway. I just thought, you know, this is just an interesting space show.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's Star Trek. And honestly, if they would just cop to it and say, you know, this is a different universe, great.
Oh, yeah.
Super happy about that. Because I can accept the 2009 movies now and say, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But these, I...
And this, the, I mean, it's like you were saying on your episode with that George...
Oh, George Edelman.
Yeah, like where you said...
You know George, don't you?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. He's Channel 101, like, yeah. Yeah, he's, he did Your Magic Touch Me Nights.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I don't know him, but I love...
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. Very hard takes with George, yeah. George is...
He, well, he said it best, too, where it's like... They need to quit doing prequels because I hate how it's a prequel, but their technology is so advanced. Like, the Discovery to me is the most advanced ship of all time because it can, it doesn't even need to travel.
It just
is. Spore drive, right?
Spore drive.
The spore drive is the worst thing I've ever, like, I hate it so much. Like, I, I'll say one thing. Discovery made me love Enterprise. Like, Enterprise is like a home run compared to Discovery. I was watching Enterprise. I'm like, God, I'm so happy I didn't watch this and I can watch this now instead.
Third and fourth season of Enterprise get fairly consistent, fairly good.
Season three is great.
I mean,
season three is the best season.
Mirror universe stuff.
It can
is
even
great.
Compare to like some normal seasons of like Voyager.
Totally.
Yeah, it's fun.
Season four has got great like mini series.
Yeah, episodes. Yeah, it has like some
two,
good episodes.
Two, 3-parters.
Maybe you heard the podcast, but the terrifying thing is that if this new timeline does in fact erase all other everything beyond, like TOS, the only thing that will actually exist in canon from anything before that is Enterprise.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's the only thing.
That's so funny. It's and like, now we're hanging on to that.
Now we're hanging on. Maybe Archer wasn't so bad, huh?
Oh, man. It's so rough. It's... I kind of wanted to get canceled, and then they maybe try something else in a couple of years. But
we'll see. I think. I mean, people are so much more interested in this Picard series that it's.
Oh yeah, that's. God, I keep thinking about what that could be like, and I have a few theories. It's like what's the episode with what's the 2-parter with Spock and Next Gen?
Unification.
So unification. Nice. I feel like that it could be either like a storyline like that where Picard in the Spock role.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be something where he's got to, like, the Great Negotiator comes back for one last hurrah.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
They're going to, like, redo what's the finale?
Good Things?
Like, I could see that, too. Maybe, like, something like that. I'll be, if they bring back Q for this, I'd be so happy.
Well, I mean, you've got...
That's the best, like, that's the best hero and villain of all Star Trek, I think. And, like, even anti-hero, like...
Why they didn't bring back Q for one of the movies is beyond me. Why? Because he was
going to be in Insurrection.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he
and
was?
And then... Yeah, I told you this. He was supposed to be in the first draft, but then they cut him out.
Oh, my.
They just had some sort of reticence. Like, that's why they put him in the movie, or in the All Good Things. So like, oh, no, we're going to have, you know, Lursen Betor be one of the bad people. Like, oh, my God. I mean, it's such a bad... Such a bad choice.
I've never thought of that. That's so crazy that there's not a Q movie.
I mean, Q is the one character because Picard is so intractable. Like he's so set in his ethical ideology that Q was the one person that could say, "Are you sure?" Like with Tapestry and just like anything. Like, are you sure?
He'll change his mind,
or you know, recommit on his convictions.
And it would be so great to see them after that finale.
Yeah,
like come back, like wear that out. Because instead, we get the worst Q episodes in DS9 and Voyager.
I know,
where it's like that's what we're left with.
Well, you have this trickster showing up trying to test like Sisko.
Well, it's not consistent. He's not the Q from All Good Things.
No,
he's like the pre All Good Things Q. And so.
Right. He just comes up. He's like, hey, look at me. I'm crazy.
I'm still a villain.
I mean, like, for Sisko, it was Gul Dukat, who is this duplicitous, like, politician type.
He's a really good villain, too.
He's great. And then...
He's actually probably the best villain, because Q's kind of... I wouldn't consider
by
just
far.
A straight
Gul Dukat
villain.
Is... And maybe Kyber.
Garrick. Okay, this is something I really, really want to ask.
Are we got to wrap up.
Okay, all right. Final verses.
Final thoughts, yes. Final verses.
Garrick versus Gul Dukat.
Well, that's kind of a... Deep Space Nine, Deep Space Nine, but...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Garrick did win.
Garrick won the game, yeah.
I would choose Garrick. He's also one of my favorite characters, so...
But they're both so complex and really...
Yeah.
They're both really complex. I mean, I think... It's tough. I would probably shade with Garrick, too, just because... I mean, because Gul Dukat was always playing a bad guy. Garrick was always playing Shades of Grey and never... I mean, even when he became a good guy, he was still a simple tailor at the end. You know, he was... Well, right,
he's probably, he's smarter because he doesn't get caught up so much in ego that, like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He'll make bad choices.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, like, Gul Dukat, I mean, you can see his foibles. You can see where he's going to fall. Yeah. He's so overconfident consistently, and it happens over and over because he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
But with Garrick, you never quite know, but in spite of that, you're rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an interesting thing, so...
Cool.
All right, so last words, Voyager, Deep Space Nine.
Oof. Overall, I'd probably more fond of Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
I think that the ending of Voyager is much better than the ending of Deep Space Nine.
Agree,
yeah. Oh, boy, we watched that. Oof.
That's probably the second best finale after All Good Things.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It had...
It's kind of what makes Janeway such a mm-hmm. top character for me, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it is. It kind of becomes
like
redemptive.
It's perfect Janeway episode.
Yeah. Deep Space Nine, boy, oof, and a long ending on that.
Oh, God. It's
15 minutes of,
the war ends great, and then that whole, we got to wrap up the Dukat thing, and it's just like, who cares?
It's rough. I'll also say Deep Space Nine. I think it's...
Deep Space Nine.
It doesn't stick the landing, but... Overall, it's pretty
good. It has an overall... Yeah.
I will say this, though. If you have Amazon Prime and you have time, go through and watch the first four and a half seasons of Babylon 5.
Ooh. God, that we could do a show. That's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, ever. Yeah, because it's on now. It's terrible. Like the
I didn't know that was on Amazon Prime.
They just released it.
Oh man, I can finally do a Babylon 5 rewatch.
It is Ooh. Really. It's good and bad, but
the first season, like Deep Space Nine, very rough.
Yeah, very rough, and then it finds its feet. But it
by,
has
by third season, it's amazing.
And then fourth season, it kind of falls off the rails again. And fifth
I'd say third and fourth are the best, and then fifth is when they like because the
well, but the fourth season,
fifth they had to kind of do a new thing.
Well, but even by the middle of the fourth, they're done with that. With the
like,
we'll talk about this. I mean, but if you haven't seen it, there's. I've always talked about the fact that the Babylon, that Deep Space Nine basically copied Babylon 5, and you will see the 1-for-1 ratio of the copying.
Even
of
the bad lighting in the first couple seasons.
Yeah, everything they copied of it. The one thing the Babylon 5 did copy off of Deep Space Nine, which is kind of funny, is that third season they get this ship called the White Star, which is just like the Defiant. But the Defiant showed up first, and then the White Star showed up. I'm like, they just copied that. So
the White Star is
White Star.
It's alive.
Yeah, White Star is pretty cool. So, all right, we will leave it at that. But if you have a chance, watch a couple episodes of Babylon 5. Did we get it right? Weigh in at our Facebook page.
Are there good mysteries in Babylon 5?
It's more of like,
It's very mysterious.
Well, it's
like
it's,
I like.
He likes like the science-y mysteries where it's like, oh, what's that? You know what? Hey, I
Babylon 5 is always more of like a political kind of. It's closer. I'd say closer to like a Game of Thrones.
It's Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it really is, and that's where you get that
real
enjoyment. Yeah. Well, it's there are longer mysteries that take
seasons to play out,
but when they do, they're very satisfying. It's really like, wow, this is really cool. So, but we will leave you with that because this is a podcast not dedicated to that. But I am Mike McCafferty.
Oh, wait, can I do a quick plug?
Yeah, oh, please.
Hey, I just directed a music video that just went online for a band called Lord Beef Turd.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so, yeah, check that out. If you just look up Lord Beef Turd on YouTube, it'll be the only thing that comes up. So
we'll try to post that on the Facebook page as well, right. Lord Beef Turd.
It's about space wizards, so it's...
Oh, well, you got space in there, so that
You got space,
works.
You know? It's good.
All right, so with that plug in mind, I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm David Michelson.
I'm Kiernan McCafferty.
And I just want to talk about...
Star Trek!
Star Trek.